You're listening to Northland Views here on Sun Sounds of Arizona for Thursday, the 18th of December. This is your volunteer reader and flagstaff, Chuck Kaufman, bringing you these headlines from the WilliamsNews.com website, News of Williams and the Grand Canyon. First, wreaths laid at graves of fallen officers. Woolman tapped to serve as interim principal at WEMS. And DPS driver charged in fatal December 6th accident on 64. That first article is by Calvin Shoemaker, Wreaths Laid at Graves of Fallen Officers. This is from the 16th of December, Williams. Chief of Police James Gregory laid wreaths at the graves of four fallen law enforcement officers who are buried at the Mountain View Cemetery in Williams on December 11th. This is the eighth year the Williams Police Department has held the annual ceremony in connection with the Fallen Heroes Wreath Program, which honors officers who died in the line of duty. The four fallen officers buried at the Williams Cemetery are Victor Hugo Melick, Clarence N. Dotson, Joseph A. McDaniel, and Stephen Garibay. A 1972 graduate of Williams High School, Garibay was serving as a deputy detective with the Mojave County Sheriff's Department when he was killed in 1987 in a vehicle collision with another law enforcement officer's vehicle during a pursuit of a fleeing suspect. McDaniel, a marshal, was shot and killed in 1947 when confronting a suspect who was causing a disturbance at a local tavern. In 1945, Wickenburg night watchman Dotson was shot and killed after interrupting a burglary in progress. Constable Melick was shot and killed in 1919 when trying to arrest a suspect who stole a horse. In his remarks, Chief Gregory said, "The courage, sacrifice, and commitment of the officers who died in the line of duty shaped the history of this community. This ceremony is not just a remembrance, but it's also a promise not to ever forget these fallen heroes," Gregory said. "I promise that we will never forget their names, their stories, or the price they paid in the defense of others." And that's wreaths laid at graves of fallen officers. Our next article, Woolman tapped to serve as interim principal at WEMS. This also by Calvin Shoemaker from the 16th of December. Williams. Williams Elementary Middle School, or WEMS, assistant principal Mr. Andrew Woolman will have a new title to start the new year. On December 10th, the Williams Unified School District No. 2 Governing Board voted to name Woolman interim principal of WEMS for the second semester of this school year, effective January 5th to June 30th, 2026. The move came after the board approved the resignation of WEMS principal Jeanette Bressler, who is retiring a semester early. Woolman is at his 10th year at WEMS, where he started as a teacher, and stated to the board that he feels very supported by the school's staff. District Superintendent Eric Evans said Woolman has shown that he's more than capable of taking on the new role. Evans also noticed that the move is no guarantee of Woolman's place in a potential candidacy pool as the district searches for its next full-time principal at WEMS. And that's Woolman tapped to serve as interim principal at WEMS. Our next article, driver charged in fatal December 6th accident on 64. This by Calvin Shoemaker from the 16th, Williams. One person is facing criminal charges following a fatal accident that occurred on State Route 64 earlier this month. A Tesla driver who allegedly caused a three-car collision on December 6, about 6 miles north of Red Lake, was arrested for manslaughter-related charges, according to Bart Graves at the Arizona Department of Public Safety. A Tesla sedan was traveling southbound, overtaking an uninvolved vehicle when it collided with the left rear corner of a trailer being towed by a Ford F-250 pickup traveling northbound, Graves said in an email. After striking the pickup, the Tesla collided head-on with a 2025 Kia Telluride SUV, also traveling northbound. The Telluride rolled over after impact and ejected a rear passenger who was deceased on scene, Graves said. The deceased was identified as Nayak Kanchan Kiran, 60, of India. Impairment is believed to have been a factor in the accident. One patient was flown to Flagstaff Medical Center, and others were transported by ground. The accident closed the highway for some time. The fatal crash is one of three accidents on Highway 64 north of Williams in less than a week, from December 2nd through the 8th. One person was taken to the hospital following a T-bone collision near Pronghorn Ranch Road on December 2nd. 6 days later, a three-vehicle accident occurred in the same vicinity as the fatal crash, resulting in four patients, according to High Country Fire Rescue. Chief Robert Trotter reports a vehicle was driving southbound in the northbound lane when it struck the trailer of a semi. The recent string of accidents on 64 come shortly after five people lost their lives due to automobile accidents on Interstate 40 near Williams in a five-week span this fall. And that's DPS, driver charged in fatal December 6 accident on 64. Next, we have a note from Principal Bressler. In the headline, Principal Bressler bids farewell to Williams Community, from the 16th of December. Dear Williams Community, it is with a heavy heart that I share my time with Williams Unified School District No. 2 will be ending a bit sooner than I had planned. I was set to retire at the end of this school year in May of 2026, but an incredible job opportunity with Chick-fil-A will have my time with WUSD No. 2 ending December 24th as I prepare to move out of the area January 2nd and for this next adventure with my family. When I began teaching here in the late 90s, I immediately fell in love with this beautiful community. The children, the families, the community that gathered around the schools to raise our kids as a village. It was a place that will always hold a very special place in my heart. When I saw the principal position that opened a few years ago, I knew this is where I wanted to end my 27-year career in education. I knew I wanted to come back to the community that grew me as a teacher and grew my love for education. We have lots to celebrate in the past few years here at WEMS. The climate and culture of this campus has changed in so many ways for the good. For the first time in the history of WEMS, we became an A-rated school. This is testament to the hard work of the staff, students, community, and families. We worked tirelessly as a team to clean up the discipline issues we were seeing in the school. We brought in cameras to the classrooms, improved the security of our campus, got rid of cell phones on campus, and are seeing teachers be able to teach again with fewer behaviors. Teachers have a good curriculum to teach from, and the resources they need, and student achievement is on the rise. While there's still more work to be done, I am confident I'm leaving the school in a better place than it was 3 years ago. I am beyond proud of what the team has been able to accomplish in the past few years. This was not done by one person, but by a team of incredible humans I was able to walk alongside each day. Mr. Woolman will be stepping in as interim principal starting January the 5th. He's been with the district for 10 years and has served as an assistant principal for nearly 3 years. The students and staff will be in excellent hands. Thank you to the community, district office, school board, families, staff, and students of WEMS for your support and love during my time as principal. Working at WEMS has been the highlight of my career in public education. I will miss you all so very much. With gratitude, Mrs. Bressler, WEMS Principal. And that's Principal Bressler bids farewell to Williams Community. Our next article, Brownlee retires from coaching with most wins in school history. This is by Calvin Shoemaker from the 16th, Williams. Williams High School football head coach Jeff Brownlee has announced his retirement after 17 years at the program's helm. Brownlee steps down as the winningest football coach in school history, according to AIA records dating back to 1922, with 126 wins since 2009. Coach Rick Shipley won 107 games from 1989 to 2005, winning a state title in 1993 and tying their opponent in the 1989 final. No other coach in school history has come close to 100 wins on the gridiron. Brownlee led Williams to the state playoffs in 16 of 17 seasons and made the state championship game five times, winning it all twice, 2017 and 2019. This past season, the sixth-seeded Vikings came up 2 points shy of advancing to Brownlee's sixth state title game with a 19-18 semifinals loss to Baghdad in November. Williams Unified School District No. 2 and its governing board recognized Brownlee at their December 10th meeting. Superintendent Eric Evans listed Brownlee's achievements and read a letter from Baghdad coach Dalton Mills, who praised Brownlee for his coaching legacy and impact on 1A football in Arizona. "I feel like Coach Brownlee is maybe the best there is at teaching his players life lessons on how to be the best version of themselves," Mills wrote. Jeff Brownlee is not only a great coach, he's been a great example in the teaching, coaching, and administration roles that he's taken on. His teams always played hard, physical football, and have done so with class. Brownlee humbly thanked the board and said he'll continue to serve as the district's athletic director. "I've had great support from the administration, but I couldn't have done this by myself," Brownlee said. "There's a lot of great assistant coaches out there that helped me along the way, and parents, and obviously the kids. It's been a great ride. I've had a lot of fun." Brownlee's coaching experience also includes time spent leading the Williams Middle School football team, Williams Bengals youth football team, and Williams basketball teams at the middle school and high school levels. Brownlee's accolades include Division Region Coach of the Year five times, Conference Coach of the Year twice, and Arizona Cardinals Coach of the Week once. And that's Jeff Brownlee retires from coaching with most wins in school history. Our next article, Grand Canyon National Park to reopen South Rim hotels December 17th. Grand Canyon. Grand Canyon National Park will reopen hotels on the park's South Rim beginning Wednesday, December 17th, and will begin easing some water restrictions. Park water utility crews successfully completed complex repairs to the Trans Canyon waterline last week and resumed pumping water without identifying any new breaks. The park will continue to operate under enhanced water restrictions until the water storage tanks have had adequate capacity to return to routine water conservation practices. Grand Canyon National Park temporarily suspended overnight hotel accommodations on December 6th. Since late October, the 12.5-mile-long Trans Canyon water line, which supplies water from the canyon for use in the park, has had three significant breaks. This transition to lessened water restrictions is a step toward normalizing park operations while ensuring the sustainable management of water resources. Key updates for South Rim. Overnight accommodations. Beginning December 17th, overnight accommodations will resume at park lodges. This includes facilities operated by Zanterra, such as El Tovar, Bright Angel Lodge, Maswick Lodge, as well as Delaware North's Yavapai Lodge and Trailer Village. Reservations are now open and visitors can book stays at these locations. Camping. Dry camping will still be permitted, and water spigots at Mather Campground and Desert View Campground will remain turned off. However, visitors can access water at the dump station adjacent to the Mather Campground kiosk. Fire restrictions. Fire restrictions will continue for the South Rim, prohibiting all outdoor wood-burning, charcoal fires, and campfires in South Rim and Inner Canyon areas to support water conservation efforts. Ongoing conservation measures. Visitors and residents are encouraged to continue practicing water conservation. Limit showers to 5 minutes or less. Turn off faucets while shaving or brushing teeth. Flush toilets selectively. Wash laundry with full loads. Report leaks to park authorities. Following waterline repairs, potable water at Phantom Ranch is now available. Hikers should still prepare to bring or treat water if necessary. For current water status in the Inner Canyon, visit the Critical Backcountry Updates page. Originally built in the late 1960s, the Trans Canyon Waterline provides potable water for facilities on the South Rim and Inner Canyon. The waterline has exceeded its expected lifespan and experiences frequent failures, which require expensive and continuous maintenance work to repair leaks. In 2023, the National Park Service started construction on a multi-year, $208 million rehabilitation of the Trans Canyon waterline and upgrades to the associated water delivery system. This crucial investment in infrastructure will ensure the park is able to meet water supply needs for millions of annual visitors and approximately 2,500 year-round residents. This information was provided by the National Park Service for Grand Canyon National Park to reopen South Rim Hotels December 17th. You're listening to Northland Views here on Sun Sounds of Arizona with your volunteer reader, Chuck Kaufman. Remember, you can listen to Northland Views and other Sun Sounds of Arizona programming either as it streams or at a time of your choosing by going to the Sun Sounds of Arizona website at sunsounds.org or by downloading the Sun Sounds of Arizona app. And that's available for your iPhone or iPad from the Apple App Store or for your Android phone or tablet from the Google Play Store. And you can always listen to Sun Sounds of Arizona streaming on your Amazon Dot, Echo, or Show. Next, we have from the supervisor's desk. Ontiveros attends fire recovery talk sessions. On December 11, 2025, District 3 Supervisor Tammy Ontiveros attended two community recovery listening sessions for communities impacted by the Dragon Bravo and White Sage fires. Coconino County contracted AC Disaster Consulting to develop a long-term recovery plan to address economic, tourism, health, social, and natural and cultural resource recovery initiatives for the county, local jurisdiction, tribal nations, and Grand Canyon communities. The first meeting was in Williams and included Mayor Don Dent, a member of the community, county employees, and members of the consulting team. The biggest concern expressed was that media misinformation reporting that the Grand Canyon was closed had a negative impact on tourism, both local and international. There was also support to rebuild the North Rim Lodge and reopen the hiking trails. Those in attendance expressed the need to address these issues with a sense of urgency. At the meeting in Sedona, we learned that this community did not see a noticeable impact. Those in attendance felt that the reason for this is because Sedona is a destination in and of itself, so tourists did not cancel reservations. And that's from the supervisor's desk. Ontiveros attends fire recovery talk sessions. Our next article, House Committee Reviews North Rim Restoration Act. This is from the 16th of December. On October 9, 2025, Representative Eli Crane, Republican of Arizona, introduced the North Rim Restoration Act of 2025 to expedite rebuilding efforts at the North Rim of the Grand Canyon following the devastating Dragon Bravo fire. The legislation aims to remove bureaucratic hurdles by streamlining the federal contracting process. Specifically, it would grant the National Park Service Emergency Contracting Authority to bypass standard delays and accelerate recovery. Representative Crane's proposal has earned support from key local and national leaders, including the Coconino County Board of Supervisors, the chairman of the Congressional Western Caucus, subcommittee chairs of the House Committee on Natural Resources, and members of the Arizona delegation. On December 11th, the House Committee on Natural Resources reviewed the bill, marking a significant step forward in the legislative process. Representative Crane hosted John Dillon, a constituent, small business owner, and lifelong advocate for the Grand Canyon, who testified before the committee. As a native Arizonan and executive director of the Grand Canyon River Outfitters Association, Mr. Dillon offered a unique perspective on the current state of the region. He briefed lawmakers on the fire's impact on park staff, local businesses, and gateway communities, urging swift passage of Representative Crane's bipartisan legislation. I want to thank John Dillon for representing the many family-owned businesses in rural Arizonans whose futures depend on revitalizing the Grand Canyon. I can think of no one more qualified to speak on the real impacts of the North Rim Restoration Act of 2025, said Representative Crane. I'm also grateful to the Coconino County Board of Supervisors, my colleagues from the Arizona delegation, the House Committee on Natural Resources, and the Congressional Western Caucus for their support. We are making significant progress toward a robust and efficient recovery. Mr. Dillon's remarks can be viewed on Representative Crane's Rumble page. This information was provided by the office of Eli Crane for House Committee Reviews North Rim Restoration Act. Our next article, Glen Canyon Conservancy announces sale of Powell Museum and Archives Building. This is from the 16th of December page. Glen Canyon Conservancy, the GCC, has announced its decision to list for sale the building that houses the Powell Museum at 6 Northlake Powell Boulevard. Despite sustained efforts to support and strengthen museum operations, GCC can no longer continue subsidizing its ongoing costs. As a result, the organization has made the difficult decision to move forward with the sale of the property. As part of this process, the GCC Board of Directors is seeking potential buyers who may be interested in continuing museum operations, ideally in a way that can include a continued partnership with GCC. A listing broker will be selected in the coming weeks, and the selected broker will provide additional information about the scope of the sale at that time. Why is a museum building being sold? Over the past 2 years, the GCC board and staff have sold property, closed poor-performing visitor center stores, and cut staffing and expenses by more than 50% to subsidize the Powell Museum and Archives and fulfill its original mission as partner to the Glen Canyon National Recreation Area. These operational changes were made to operate more efficiently and to pay the debt service on a Small Business Administration Emergency Injury Disaster Loan taken out by the previous GCC administration to renovate the museum after a Blackwater flood. These efforts were challenging and were impactful, but still not great enough to continue subsidizing operations of the Powell Museum and continue fulfilling GCC's mission. Because the current board recognized the continued strain on the organization, the GCC board president, vice president, and staff requested a partnership with the City of Page in May of 2025 to provide funding for the community's museum and archives. The City Council motioned and approved a directive for city staff to work with GCC on a practical solution. Informally, a few weeks later, GCC was told that the City Council decided not to support any aspect of the GCC proposal. After multiple requests by the GCC board president for a formal follow-up and negotiation of our request, GCC did not receive an answer or support. Therefore, hard decisions had to be made. What will happen to current exhibits and archives? Although GCC is in the process of selling the physical building at 6 Northlake Powell, the current exhibits in the museum and collections housed at a rented facility on Vista Avenue are not a part of the sale and remain a priority for the organization. As stated previously, ideally a potential buyer would be interested in continuing museum operations, but that's not a guarantee. GCC is exploring options to ensure all collections are properly preserved and remain accessible to the public through digital initiatives and/or partnering with other museums. Other plans include moving the popular 3D map of the Glen Canyon back to the flagship store and designating a portion of the store as a space for rotating exhibits that highlight the diverse history, culture, and natural heritage of the region. Every effort will be made to contact collection donors to return donated or loaned items to their respective owners. Going forward, for decades, the Powell Museum and Archives have served as a cornerstone of community history, education, and exploration, preserving the legacy of John Wesley Powell and the cultural heritage of the Colorado Plateau. This closure marks the end of an important chapter in our story, but GCC remains committed to partnership with the National Park Service and our mission of connecting people to Glen Canyon through visitor services, education, and retail sales at Carl Hayden Visitor Center, Navajo Bridge Interpretive Center, and the flagship store. For more information or updates, please contact Debbie Moses at debbie@canyonconservancy.org. The information for this article was provided by GCC. Glen Canyon Conservancy announces sale of Powell Museum and Archives Building. This is your volunteer reader, Chuck Kaufman. I'd like to thank you for joining me for this Thursday edition of Northland Views and remind you that you can listen to Northland Views and other Sun Sounds of Arizona programming streaming on the Sun Sounds of Arizona website at sunsounds.org or on your Amazon Dot, Echo, or Show. You can also download the Sun Sounds of Arizona app and listen to their productions at a time of your choosing or as it streams by going to the Apple App Store for your iPhone or iPad app, or you can get the Android app at the Google Play Store.